Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Call into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Collins!
5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3, presented by Good Week Moving and Storage. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez keeping us up over the airwaves back at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We're going to have Blue Jays Dodgers kicking things off in the World Series this Friday, starting out in Toronto, 2-3-2. And the Dodgers look to win their second straight. Blue Jays look to win their first since 1993, where they went back-to-back. Joe Carter hitting a go-ahead shot in game six that launched them ahead. They hit a big home run yesterday with George Springer. Go-ahead shot to put them ahead of the Seattle Mariners in the seventh inning of game seven of the ALCS that was yesterday. A great game, very good game, and a game where you got a feel for the Mariner fan who hasn't necessarily had the best of luck to this point, but they look to respond next year because they had a lot of pitching, and I thought it was their time. I thought this was a timing thing that they finally had a chance to break through, make some history, and that would have been a cool story to see a team that has never won a World Series versus the team that is almost the inevitable team. That would have been the ultimate David and Goliath matchup. I don't know if the Blue Jays and Dodgers have the same aspect. It's more about Canada versus the USA, but we see what happens there.
Oh, great. I got to root for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Oh,
unbelievable.
God.
Let's bounce around a little bit. Let's have a little fun. Let's do a little 5% by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking big time.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics.
5 of 5
Flagler
Credit Union. Number one.
So, Kyle, you know, Woody Johnson back in the media again. Jet owner, by the way. Jet owner Woody Johnson. I believe Palm Beach resident.
Palm Beach native, yep.
Not native, resident. But regardless, he had a, you know, and I'm a Justin Fields guy. Justin Fields has been bad. Okay, let's admit that. Let's actually listen to Woody Johnson talking specifically about how bad Justin Fields has been this year.
When Aaron to turn it around.
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that we've got. You know, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league. And if we can just complete a pass, it would look good.
Oh,
you got to complete some pass. You got to convince them that you can do something. Otherwise, it's hard to have a game that you could win.
What do you say to the fans with loss?
Kyle, it's just not jiving.
That was Woody Johnson, the Jet owner, talking about Justin Fields.
So, I mean, what do you make of that? That story, you know, number one.
It's too candid, number one. It's too candid. If you're ever curious about what the ownership thinks of Aaron Glenn and whether they blame Aaron Glenn in this spot, no, they blame the $40 million quarterback that they have on the hook for a two-year contract, who I agree with him, cannot complete a pass. Now, the Jets have their own plethora of issues. They're bad on the penalty side. Defensively, they've been very erratic. Offensively, they can't do anything. Penalties, effort, energy, winless, travel, haven't done basically anything right. But if we're going to sit here and say Aaron Glenn should be 3-4 instead of 0-7,
it's
just because of the quarterback, like, no. Aaron Glenn has not done a good job, but neither has that quarterback, Justin Fields. He's right. He cannot complete a pass. Now, should the owner go out to the media and say that? No. Because now, if you're Aaron Glenn, how do you start that capably? Because now you know how the owner feels. And the owner, I know you might not agree with the owner. You might not make decisions based on the owner, but it's definitely in your corner in some capacity.
Glenn is just...
You're definitely thinking about it.
Colin, I've seen it too many times before, kid. Glenn is just another name on that laundry list of coaches for the Jets. What are you, 0-7? You haven't won a game. And don't sit here and tell me you've seen progress. I haven't seen progress from the Jets. They've
been
gotten worse.
Half a season, but you're right.
I think they've gotten
they
worse.
Need to be
believe
better.
It or not.
They need to get better before the end of the year. I agree. You need to see. You need to see progress.
It was bad with Saleh. All right. But once they got rid of Saleh, believe it or not, the Jets, they didn't play too awful. Rodgers and that offense seemed to click for a little bit. This is terrible. I mean, this is a historically bad offense, it seems, from the New York Jets. I'm down. I'm down on Johnson. I'm down on Glenn. And I'm down on that whole operation. Surprise, surprise. Justin Fields goes to another awful quarterback franchise and is having struggles. Let's move on to number two.
Do we got
to
give Aaron Rodgers a little bit of credit for winning five games with this
Correct.
Team last year?
Yes, I tried before the year.
And having a good season, throwing for 3,800 yards and 28 touchdowns. Should we bow and say, how did you do it, Aaron? Would that be the right thing
tried,
to do?
I tried to say that before the year when I was defending Pittsburgh.
I thought the Jets were actually a little underrated. And I remember they had a good game against Patriots earlier in the year.
Right.
But I sit here and think now, maybe we owe Aaron Rodgers a bit of an apology. Because what he did last year with that terrible team, and I'm not saying they didn't cure cancer. They had won five games. But with throwing 28 touchdowns, comparatively to what it's been, and comparatively to the – I know it's different people running the show. It's impossible to succeed there. It's impossible. It's a black hole. That franchise, along with the Browns a little bit, but the Browns have a little bit to look forward to because of a good rookie class.
They're their own.
The Jets are a black hole.
Believe it or not.
A black hole.
I'd rather be the disgraceful Cleveland Browns than the disgraceful New York Jets. Just because of the likes of Judkins and Schlesinger. I don't give Barry a lot of credit. It seems like a couple of his rookies this year are good. Where you don't give Barry credit is trading a starting quarterback this year to the team.
Every
of the
player
division.
On the Jets wants to get out of there. It's a nightmare.
Let's do number two, Dame.
Number two.
Colin, we talked about the Monday Night Football games. You had the Buccaneers. And the Lions, you had the Texans and Seattle. Out of those four teams, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Houston, and Seattle, which quarterback would you have out of the four? Who is the guy out of the four? You have Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud.
If I needed the season
and
I didn't know what type of Baker I would get, I would take Goff. But if I needed an upside player, I needed somebody who could really surprise you, who could elevate a team, I'm taking Baker. If I have a great team already, I'm taking Goff.
I think the answer is Baker. I don't want to, not even close. It's not that. It's close with Goff, but I'm taking Baker by a considerably wide margin. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable in the sense of how many times now have we seen guys fizzle out and just have a revival in their career. And I know that this is old news with Baker. Baker's been to the playoffs two times and they've won a playoff game, okay? I understand all this. But I'm watching that game last night going, that guy used to play for my team. I swear that guy was my quarterback once upon a time. Did he have a crummy game? Sure. But he was getting a count of MVP considerations heading into that game. He still might. It's a long year. Did Mike Evans go out? Yeah, but you can make it work.
They were due for a bad game.
I think the answer is Mayfield. I do. Damian, I'm interested in Damian Perez, our producer back at the City Play Studios, filling in for Chris Chakad, who is on-site stuffing his face, what Colin and I are going to be doing in about 30 minutes here. But Damian, Baker, Goff, Stroud, Darnold, what quarterback are you going with out of those four that we saw on Monday Night Football?
Give me Baker. I think Baker can elevate any franchise. When you put him in a locker room, I think he just resonates with everybody. I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan.
When you need a leader, Baker makes a lot of sense. I agree with everybody in that sense. When you need a leader, you need somebody who's going to resonate with all the players. You need somebody who the fans are going to love. You need somebody who could elevate. I like that word. You know, a team that it's already pretty good, but you make them a lot better. I think Baker's a guy for the job. If you already have a great team, if you already have the pieces in place, and you already have a coach that sets the tone, if you need an operator, there's a time and a place where you take Goff and over Mayfield.
Yeah,
there is a situation out there where you would take Goff over Mayfield, probably considerably.
By the way, the Mayfield being a leader stuff, that's recent. So give that guy a lot of credit.
Grew up, yeah.
Give him a lot of credit for growing up and figuring things out on the go when his career was shaky. Damian, let's do number three, partner.
Number three.
We talked to Danny Canal here at the Boca Raton, the beautiful Boca Raton for the Boca Bowl golf outing. And Danny basically told us what Colin was saying yesterday on the air. Florida State can't afford it. It's that simple. Norvell would not be the coach if they were able to afford it. What do you make of that? Well, I want to circle back around to that because we brought it up during the show. Hearing
is it one
Danny,
of those things where...
And hearing a guy who's in the know like Danny. I mean, listen, I could argue that there's not a guy around that knows the Florida State program better than that guy. To hear it from him, what went through your mind when he told us that, Kyle?
I would say that if I look at Florida State, is there a place, is there a point in which we can't afford it, we have to afford it now.
Yep.
We have to afford it. We can't afford it versus we have to afford it. We have to pay this. We have to cough this money up to get him out of town. Is there a point in a place where that happens? My gut tells me they lose every game for the rest of the season. I think they have to make a move. But if there are ups and downs in what I'd expect of Florida State the rest of the year, that would strike me as he will be back next year. If they really do fall off the deep end, and it's somewhat of what we saw last year, and all it just started a little later, and they lose every game for the remainder of the schedule. One thing that Danny told us too, he's like, the thing about Florida State, they don't respond well to adversity. That's it. I agree with that. It sounds like you lose that locker room quickly because once they start losing, they start seeing the end of the tunnel.
That's the ultimate coaching failure. To hear those words.
Can they respond well to adversity? And they have done.
That is the ultimate coaching failure. Now, Colin, there are also obviously numerous other places available for a head coach, or rather that need a head coach. Penn State, Florida, Arkansas, UCLA. Out of those schools, Penn State, Florida, Arkansas, UCLA. And once again, I'll name it again because it's a lot of teams. Penn State, Florida, Arkansas, UCLA. Where does Florida State fit in there as a program? Are they the number one team?
Penn State's a better job than I think everybody there. I think Florida's number two, FSU's number three, and that's close.
God, you got Florida over,
because of the,
over
SEC,
the Seminoles.
Just because of the SEC. And outside of that, you go Arkansas, then UCLA.
Probably right. I would agree with that. Penn
Arkansas,
State,
I know Arkansas's in the U.
Actually,
the,
explain why Penn State's won. Money, old money.
Money. Good conference, bad competition. There's a difference. It's not a good conference, great competition every week. It's good conference, bad competition for the most part. So you're not going to have an impossible schedule week in and week out. You got a good recruiting base in the Northeast. You're basically the biggest football team of the Northeast.
Yep.
And
a lot of good football in like New Jersey.
You have a brass at administration that trusts its quarterback. I mean, yep. Trusts its coaches. They gave Franklin 12 years. And Franklin did not win a single big game. They gave him 12 years. That you are going to get. A half a decade at least.
I think he was more afraid of moving on, right?
Maybe. You get a half a decade at least.
Now,
at
but
Penn
now
State, you're going to have a good opportunity. You're going to be safe. I don't think you could be safe in any other job there.
Dame, let's move on to number four.
Number four.
Let me phrase this in NFL terms. Who's the Ben Johnson of the coaching crop right now that's looking for a job? Who's the coach that everybody wants right now?
College or NFL?
College. We're talking about the college teams right now. Like, I did the Ben Johnson comparison
yeah, right,
because he was the most sought-after guy.
I think the guys that people are going to look at
are Franklin.
Clark Lee. I know he went to Vanderbilt, but Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. Brent Key at Georgia Tech. Those two come to mind. I think Jeff Brohm. I know, again, another guy who went to the school he's coaching. Maybe he's comfortable at Louisville. Jeff Brohm is somebody I think that people call. Lane Kiffin is obviously an A-lister that people are going to call for the Blue Bloods. Outside of that, maybe the Ohio State coordinators, but if you're going to root guys coming
it's
up.
It's not how college does it.
Lance
right?
Leipold at Kansas is another good one.
In college, you said this a couple of days ago. In college, you go to a MAC, a Conference USA, and prove you could build a program.
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
Prove that you could build a program. So,
yeah.
I agree with you. The Buckeye coordinators with Patricia and Hartline, I think maybe could get some looks, but it's not necessarily the college way. I think it's Franklin. It's the only reason I ask. He's the most proven out of all of them. Can he not win a big game? Sure. But something you told me yesterday kind of stuck out to me. I said, Colin, why the hell would Florida State, a team who, and a fan base that expects to compete for championships, they're not there, though. Like, they need a guy who needs to come in there and fix the program. Make them a 10-win team again.
Just right the ship.
Like, 10 wins. Make them 10-2.
And the ACC would be a lot easier than the one he has to deal with
Make that team 10-2 and give them a realistic chance of making the –
He would be a terrible hire for Florida. He'd be a great hire for Florida State.
If I'm Florida State, the next coach I look for is the coach that is going to get you to the ACC championship and 10 wins year in and year out.
All right,
that's where you got to start. You got to start with competing in the ACC again. Do you agree with
that? Not a question. I think Florida State would be a great job for him. I really do. I think lower tier Big Ten teams would be a great job for Flanker. I think he should stay far away from the SEC. That would be my conclusion. Stay far away from the SEC. And for a guy who can't win big game, you don't want to play big game every week. You don't want that. You want guy who can play bad game and win bad game. That's what he is good at.
The SEC, those guys live week to week, mate.
That's it.
They live week to week.
You don't want
to
play four ranked teams in a row. What do you think? I mean, Penn State could never handle that. You think he's going to handle that at another school? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're dead wrong. I would, if I'm an SEC school, I stay.
That's why I give Saban credit.
Lower tier Big Ten. I absolutely sign up.
That's why I give Kirby and Saban a lot of credit. They built dynasties in the SEC, and were clearly the best teams in college football year in and year out. The year Georgia went back to back.
They were able to control the talent. They had the most talent because now, it was pre-NIL. They didn't have the disparity of talent. People wanted to go to Alabama to go to the next level, and they were the biggest guarantee of doing that. That's why they were able to kind of. They had guys next up. It was next up, next
Georgia
man up.
Georgia on the defensive end,
Alabama
too.
Does not have that. Alabama didn't. Not anymore. And it's just not as much as you.
I think.
It's very rarely next man up. It's after everybody leaves, then you pluck in the free agents of NIL players from all throughout.
Yep.
Alabama had about three professional players in a row at every position. It was a wide receiver. They had wide receiver here, then another one there, then another one there, then a running back here, then a running back there. They had defensive linemen here, always had good linebackers, always had good guys in the secondary. It's just how Alabama operated. And it's just they had so much talent. I think the disparity, I'm not trying to denounce Nick Saban's contributions, but Alabama controlled the best talent.
Homer here. I think the Buckeyes have a little bit of what you were describing. Let's move on to number five.
Number five.
Colin, I'm watching everybody eat. This is my ultimate torture in life. I've today, what? A thinly sliced sandwich and about two pieces of pizza the size of my pinky. Colin, I am starving.
Yeah, I'm
and
excited.
And I am watching everybody eat right now.
At the Boca Raton.
This is my biggest nightmare. What are we eating, kid? When we get off the air, what the
I
hell are we
I see a meat carving station, the Boca Raton Resort, where they're going to have great food for us for the Boca Bowl annual golf outing. Everybody's having a good time. Now the sun has went down, so everybody's not boiling in the sun. But, yeah, it should be a good time. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I saw that slab of meat. I mean, some gentleman was carrying five Fred Flintstone steaks. Just bring that over here. Honest to God, if I had my choice, that plate that gentleman walked down the stairs with, I could have just eaten that and been good.
We'll make our NBA over-unders on the other side of things, pick our win totals for the year, get into some of the biggest and best Game 7 moments we've ever seen, and whether that George Springer moment lives up to it, got a lot to do. We're live on site at the Boca Raton Resort with the Boca Bowl annual golf outing. It's Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. You're going to have the World Series to bet on game by game. You're going to have Thursday Night Football, college football. The bigger games are now coming. College basketball starting in a couple weeks. That's always fun to bet. And you can do it on the Hard Rock Bet app.
Absolutely. And Colin and I are about to go through our over-under win totals within the NBA here coming up next. So, folks, what I want you to do, download that Hard Rock app today, because first off, if you download it for the first time and you're a new gambler on the site, you put in $5, you bet on a game, and if it wins, you instantly get $1.50 in bonus bets. It's $150 in bonus bets if you find that game that you're going to win. Now, it's a perfect time, too, because the NBA's gearing up tonight. Colin and I big in, at least I am, into the fantasy basketball aspect of it too. I love getting that league pass and watching the guys that I got on my team. Well, you could do that with Hard Rock as well. Sprinkle a little action on these NBA games. Make that season pass watching on the NBA app this year a little more fun with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Did anyone get rocked on Monday Night Football like me last night? You know, I had Tampa Bay in that godforsaken game last night, but I made my money back on that Seattle game. I was big on the Seahawks last night. That paid off. Have some fun on Hard Rock Bet. Obviously, gamble responsibly, folks. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That's 1-833-PLAY-WISE. And keep in mind, must be 21 and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Also, Colin and I are always putting up our parlay of the weekend on our socials. Go to at ESPN West Palm. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and X to be locked in on it. Kyle, my four-leg parlay hit. It was Ohio State minus 25.5, Michigan State plus 27.5, and then I was on Indianapolis plus 2, and I even got the Cowboys at plus 1 on that this past Wednesday.
Yeah, Cowboys was easy.
So, be looking out for Colin and I's plays, and we're about to give you some plays on that app with our over-under win totals.
All right, let's go back and forth here. This is my favorite time of the year, setting over-unders. We do it on the win totals on the Hard Rock Bet app. You can just go to the NBA tab, go to Team Futures, go to Regular Season Wins, and any team you could choose over or under. All right, let's go back and forth here. I'm going to start with my obvious one. I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks over. 41.5 is the number on our Hard Rock Bet.
They burned me last year.
Dallas Mavericks, this year, they're not going to have Kyrie for the first start of the year, probably for his first 2-3 months because they've had an ACL or a knee injury. Outside of that, they got Anthony Davis, they got Cooper Flagg, they have PJ Washington. They have players. And you know what's good about them? They have a lot of good defensive players. They got Klay Thompson sitting there. They have a lot of young players, and they don't need Flagg to be a hero early in the year. They need Flagg to average 15-6-5. They don't need Flagg to average 22-7-7. They need to average 15 a game, give us 7-8 rebounds, and give us 4-5 assists, and then have a couple blocks, a couple steals.
Let me ask you this about Flagg. Is that an immediate impact guy at the number one pick?
I do think so. Because I think the fact is he's not going to be the game plan player. They're all worried about Anthony Davis.
I agree with you that he doesn't have to be. But like in the end of the day, he's the number one pick. So that's why I was a little interested.
This is going to be a tough Western Conference. I need them to go a little over 500. I totally think they can.
I thought about it, but I can't do it 2 years in a row. They burned me last year.
I understand. I would say I would stay away too.
So a team, I'm going to go back to the well on a team that won me my money at 27.5 last year. I'm going to go with the Chicago Bulls 32.5 over. I think they easily get that this year. You know, they got the Giddy kid. They love their rookie as well. I've been hearing a lot of good things about Coby White. I've been hearing a lot of good things about the Bulls this offseason. And when I mean good things, not like, hey, we're going to be a top four, top three team in the Eastern Conference, but they might not be playing in that godforsaken play-in game like they are every single year. I'm going to go with the Bulls over 32.5. I like kind of the young core that they have there.
Yeah, the thing about Chicago is, you know, they were sellers last year. They've sort of been in between a rock and a hard place of 30-some-odd wins. But the theme this year is to figure out which team is going to take advantage of a bad Eastern Conference. Who is going to – the Pacers being hurt, the Celtics being hurt, the Knicks being the only – the Heat kind of dismantling themselves. A lot of those usual suspects are not going to be there anymore, and because of that, who is going to take advantage? A lot of eyes are on Atlanta. Can Atlanta take another step? Who has Zachary Risacher, the number one overall pick from two years ago, who's waiting to burst out. That's a trendy pick, and they're like 46.
Do you want to know what I stayed away from was the Magic? Dude, they're 51.5.
That's another team that everybody has their eyes on to capitalize on a bad Eastern Conference.
They were the perfect example for what you were just talking about. Partner, give me your second one.
All right, I'm going to go to the Eastern Conference here. I got two in like that I like. We talked about this very type of team who's going to capitalize on a bad Eastern Conference. I think the Toronto Raptors are. Why do I think the Toronto Raptors are? They got Brandon Ingram. They got Emmanuel Quickley, who's tremendously overpaid. Jakob Poeltl. Scottie Barnes and RJ Barrett. That is essentially their team. They have a lot of wing scorers. They have a lot of versatile defenders. And if they stay healthy, I think that's a team that could quietly make the play-in. Toronto is usually a well-run team. I know they've had a lot of turnover.
Did you say they
got to
stay healthy? I love Scottie Barnes. Good player, man.
And same with RJ Barrett.
Good
same with
player.
Brandon Ingram. Stay healthy. If they could stay healthy, I think this is a team. It's a little bit more of a risk, but I like Atlanta to capitalize and have a pretty good season. I do.
Toronto.
Raptors. Yes, excuse me.
So you mentioned Atlanta. I'm going under. 46.5, I'm on the under. A Trae Young team. I don't know. I just, Colin, they're always in the play-in tournament. And in that play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference is always like, what, 35, 36, 37 wins. I'm going with the Hawks. I'm going with the Hawks in the under on this. So
you like the under on the Hawks?
Yeah, I like the under on the Hawks.
I like the over on the Raptors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm under Hawks.
You're under on the Hawks.
Under Hawks, yeah. Just because they're always in the play-in tournament. They didn't necessarily do anything in the offseason that...
Well, they have the number one overall pick. They're waiting for him to blow up. That's the thing.
Too many times you're waiting on these. And I'm not calling them a bust, okay? I'm not sitting here and saying that. But too many times these guys aren't ready. Things aren't ready. I don't think they're ready for a 47-win season. That's my only pushback.
I'm going to stay in the Eastern Conference here. Tell me if I could sell you on this. The Brooklyn Nets over.
I love Cam Thomas.
21.5.
He needs to stay healthy, though.
How about this? It's the first team in the history of the NBA to have 5 first-round picks in one draft. They drafted 4 and acquired the rights to the 5th. They got 5 first-rounders in this year's
you
draft.
You like the guys?
Three of them are European, and the other one's Danny Wolf, the big guy in Michigan, who's like, you know, passer. They got Jordy Fernandez, who's in second year as a Spanish head coach for them. He's a Euro guy, and they won 26 games last year. This is a team that traded Cam Johnson for Michael Porter Jr., who's, you know, is going to be a black
Correct.
Hole offensively. And they got Cam Thomas, who's another black hole offensively. But they got Nick Claxton, they have defensive bigs, and they have a ton of young players, a lot of Europeans. They have a lot of Europeans. And you know what? A European-style coach with European-style players, that's ball movement, shoot threes. I need them to win a fourth of their games.
What's the number?
21.5.
21?
Yeah, they won 26 games last year, and that was the first year under their coach.
21 games? We're going over on that.
That's an over.
You've sold me on that.
Brooklyn, sign me up. That's
21?
The team in New York. That's the team in New York.
21 games?
Yeah.
That's astronomical.
I mean,
I'm in. You're to in. Win 22 games, I'm absolutely in.
They could go 22-60. They could go 22-60.
We're going to be sweating that out?
No problem.
I mean, like, similar to the – is this our Panther pick?
What if they start 10-3? Mike, they can hit it in 2 weeks.
Hang on. Speaking of a ticket, that's why I give you credit. I'll listen to you because this is your shtick. Your gambling shtick is the over-under win totals. It really is. You want to know who you hit last year in what?
Cleveland.
February? You hit the Cavs in February.
And the
February.
Other one I hit? Sixers under.
Oh,
which
God,
I hit
yeah,
in
that
December.
Was a disgrace. That was a disgrace.
I hit that in December.
I think that Sixer under is going to look like a little bit like Atlanta this year. All right,
they've evened out a little bit.
So, Kyle, Mike.
I like that. Right, I like that.
Let's update everyone. So, we've done half of them. We've done two. The two I have, Atlanta under, Chicago.
What are the numbers?
46.5 under for the Hawks. I don't think they win 47. And then I'm over on the Bulls. I had them winning 33. And keep in mind, the Bulls won me my money last year, and it was 27.5.
So on the other end, I've made 3 of my 4 picks. In the Eastern Conference, I'm going to take the over on the Brooklyn Nets, 21.5. I need them to go win 22 games. And on the other side, I need the Toronto Raptors to win over 37 games.
And this is in response to the NBA season starting tonight.
Tonight, and then I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks over 41.5. Your third pick.
I want to tail you so bad on that. I just can't go back to the wall of a team that screwed me last year. Back to the picks. Detroit, I'm going over 45.5. We talk about that team could take the next step in the Eastern Conference. They played New York hard. And they finally, their young core of Durin and Cunningham, I'm buying that. JB Bickerstaff, what does JB do? JB goes to these teams, they win 50 games, they go to the playoffs, and they lose in the second round. It's exactly what the Pistons are going to do. And then in 2 years, they're going to go, okay, we're done with JB. We got to find the next head coach that's going to get us there. I am so bullish on the Pistons at 46.5 this year. So bullish.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. You haven't taken a Western Conference one, right?
And I'm not going to.
Really? You're going to do 4 Eastern?
All
Conference?
Eastern. And you're going to laugh at my last one.
I'll do the last one here. Portland Trailblazers, 33.5 under. There's my under.
33.5.
It's low. Why?
Scoot has failed.
Their best scorer last year, Anthony Simons. Where is he? Boston. Who'd they get in return? A 37-year-old Drew Holiday. They got Donovan Clingan. Fine. This is a team that should explode. And I know they had Denis Avdija, who they traded and they got from Washington, who had like 30 points in like 10 of the last 15 games.
Yep.
This is an under that I like. Now, they got Chauncey Billups back as the head coach. This is a team that will get ripped apart by the Western Conference. Ripped apart.
Can we give a couple of honorable mentions?
All right.
Colin, 37.5 Pacers under. I told you.
I wouldn't touch that.
You can't, dude.
I'm a Pacers guy. You're just a Pacer hater.
You'll never see that. You'll never see that team.
You know
again.
What I think is the easiest one? Clipper under. I would take that off of vibes, but they won 50 games the last 3 years.
I took their under last year. Am I hopping back on it? 47.5.
Yeah, so I don't like that. Boston over. It's 41.5.
Because no Tatum.
That team is not going 500.
What's the status of Jaylen Brown?
Playing. And they got Anthony Simons, who's going to be
high on him. You're high on him.
Simons? I mean, he can't play defense, but on the Celtics, he can. This is a team that got rid of Holiday. I mean, they got rid of Jason Tatum's. I think Jason Tatum's going to play before the year's end. But point being, Boston, they're not that team with that type of coaching and that conference is not going under 500. I'm not taking it. That team is going under.
I'd love to see it.
That's an over that I like. That's a total team that could go 40, 45 games. They just need to get to the postseason. That's their goal. And they're going to play hard every game because they don't have Tatum. There's your thing.
So you're telling me the Pacers are going to win 38 games this year?
Dude, I would stay far away.
I'm still on that. I haven't gotten off that.
The Pacers have burned you every step of the way for about 5 straight months. I'm not touching that team. I don't care if Haliburton or not. I'm not touching that team.
They stink, but fair enough.
Would you take the Oklahoma City Thunder, anything, 62.5?
No. God, no. Yeah. If anything, under. My God, 63 games? If anything, I would take the under. What's the Cavs at? Interesting.
Cleveland, I'm going to guess 52.5, 55.5.
That's too much.
I wouldn't touch that.
That's too much. They could easily win.
They had their big regular season.
Yeah.
They just want to get to the postseason. You know what I mean? They want to get to the postseason to be healthy.
They're on my.
They want Garland to be healthy. They want Lonzo Ball to be healthy. It's going to be a big ad for them.
I'll tell you what.
They're not interested in winning 65 games. They're not interested in that. That doesn't do them any good.
Uncle Dan Gilbert has opened the checkbook up. If those kids can't win this year, you blow it up. You blow it up.
Here's the thing. They had their record-breaking regular season. They don't need
that anymore. If Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland don't play in playoff games again, I'm all done, dude. That's been the story the last 2 years. These guys sitting out on playoff games. I'm all done.
My dad took the Memphis Grizzlies under at 41.5. I would stay far away from that. The Grizzlies are already hurt, by the way.
You like the Grizzlies.
Well, I took them. Remember, the last game of the year, it was game 82. They hit the 47 after losing 15 of their last 19 games.
Dude.
More godforsaken bets I've ever taken in my entire life.
It hit.
It barely hit by the skin of my teeth.
But your dad's on the under.
He likes the under. And he's gotten destroyed in his NFL picks. He took the Raider over did. He got destroyed.
He picked it. And be fair to the dog. He picked the Bengals to win it all. But Burrow got hurt. So I can't necessarily be
He
hard
did
on
take
that.
The Bengal over. I can't which be hard gonna on get that. The, he's going to get destroyed on. He took the Kansas City under, which should be all right.
Most likely, at this point, I'm aiming for 3-2 on my NFL futures.
Yeah.
Because I got two dead tickets.
I think he might have taken Arizona, too. He had a bad
year. I got two dead tickets in the Browns over 4.5 and the Cardinals.
What about Phoenix, 30.5?
No, I wouldn't touch them. That's a godforsaken team. Is Booker?
That's when I've heard that people are trendy on the under.
Do you want to know what drives me nuts with this league and a big reason why I'm down on the NBA in general? These guys don't play. Like, you got money on these games to win these win totals. These guys don't play every game. They're healthy and they're not playing. What's Devin? Is Devin Booker going to play 35 regular season games
last one
this year?
Here. He wants his bonuses. He will. The last one here. San Antonio Spurs.
43?
43.5.
I'd go under.
This is one that everybody's waiting on them
I'd
to take
under.
The next step. They got Dylan Harper. They got Wembanyama. They
De'Aaron
got
Fox.
Steph Castle. De'Aaron Fox. They have players.
If any.
That's one that everybody is waiting for the Spurs.
That's the hot ticket. Over.
It's a trendy pick.
Over is the hot ticket. I'm not touching it, but why would I lean on? And listen, Wemby going to be healthy?
If Wemby's going to be good, that team's going to be good. Okay. That's why I'm nervous about. So that's why I would stay away. I wouldn't want to bank on them.
Yep. What are you looking forward to the most about the NBA season this year as it tips off tonight?
How Houston plays.
With Durant.
Without Van Vliet. Is Houston going to be a new team? And remember, that was another over that I had that I hit with about a month ago in the season. It was only the Grizzlies that I sweat out.
Yeah.
Because I had the Rockets over, Cavs over, and Sixer under. And then last year I had the Grizzly over, and I almost got burned there. But the Rockets this year, I mean, they have young players. They now just got Durant. They run a too big lineup. They have a good coach in Ime Udoka. I would say that's a team that I have my eye on. Remember, they have the third overall pick in the draft, Reed Sheppard, from 2 years ago.
Yep.
Who didn't really play at all last year, didn't play in a big game, and now they need him to be their starting point guard.
Yeah, sometimes these guys just aren't ready.
Maybe it took them a year. To put it in conclusion,
yeah.
My over-unders that I'm going to take this year in the NBA, I'm going to take the over on the Toronto Raptors Win total 37.5. I'm going to take the over on the Brooklyn Nets. Win total 21.5. And I'm going to take the over Dallas Mavericks 41.5. And lastly, my under Portland Trailblazers 33.5. That's what I need.
And then my four selections, Atlanta under 46.5. Chicago over 32.5. I got the Pistons over 45.5, and I got the Pacers under 37.5. Big Eastern Conference this year. I think that's where the money's to be made. You mentioned it. It's wide open. I feel like there's money to be made on overs with the Eastern Conference.
I don't disagree. I don't
disagree.
Overs
and unders, excuse me.
Now, the Western Conference is where the bad team will get ripped apart because it's going to be so competitive.
I just want to take the under on the Clippers
are going to be
so
decent.
Bad.
The Lakers are going to be decent.
Now, what's happened with Kawhi Leonard after, you know?
He's going to play.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to play. It sounds like they're going to wait a couple months until they make a decision on whether they're going to suspend him or not.
Is that Dan Hurley?
No, that's not okay. Dan Hurley. That's just a ball
That's
guy.
Why I slapped you. It looked just like him. It looked just like Dan Hurley. Did that not? He looked like Danny Hurley. That's why I smacked the crap out of you.
We're at the Boca Raton Resort at the Boca Bowl golf outing.
That
Dan
totally
Hurley,
looked like
who
Dan
has
Hurley.
A scrimmage against Michigan State in about 4 days. He's not at the Boca
that
Raton
That looked like
Resort.
Dan Hurley.
Mike,
you
that guy
can't
is
tell me that did
foot
not
six.
Look like
that guy was 5 foot
you
six.
You cannot tell me that
Dan
guy
Hurley
did not
played
look
college
like Dan
basketball
Hurley.
At Seton Hall.
Dude,
that guy was 5'6".
Dude, I don't care what you guys, but we have Andrew Crosby, our teammate, ESPN West Palm over here. He's telling me I'm crazy. That guy was a doppelganger at Dan
that
Hurley.
That was not Dan Hurley.
That guy was a doppelganger at
and
Dan
I,
Hurley.
And weirdly enough, you slapped me, and I knew you were thinking that you, Mike definitely thinks that guy is Dan Hurley. That is not Dan Hurley. That is not Dan Hurley. Not even close. That guy was 5 foot six.
I was about
six.
To grab the microphone.
That guy was 5 foot six. Dan Hurley played college basketball at Seton Hall.
I was about to grab the microphone and go, dude, this is your biggest fan in South Florida. Give us 15
Mike,
minutes.
Mike, it wasn't Dan Hurley.
I don't know. I think we got to – I think
you
I got to go.
You want me to bring him back?
I got to do some investigative journalism here.
That was not
I think
Dan Hurley.
That was Dan Hurley.
That was not Dan Hurley. That guy was 5 foot
He's getting
foot
a vacation
six.
Real quick. He's getting a 48-hour. He's taking a 48-hour. It's just, 2 days, beautiful Boca Raton.
College basketball is going to be good this
Dude,
year.
This place is off the hook, by the way. Boca Raton is off the
we'll
hook.
We'll do some college basketball a little later on. College basketball is going to have a good year. A lot of good players. Okay. A lot of good NBA players that are going to be in next year.
I know you're very high on Greg Gard this year as the Wisconsin Badgers try to win a
fired.
Big Ten.
Should be fired.
I mean, aren't they one of the favorites to win the league this year?
Michigan, I think. No, Purdue's the favorite. Purdue's the best team in the country.
Really?
Best team in the country.
Again?
They return everybody.
Again?
Yes. Get ready.
So, for years in Big Ten hoops, it's been Purdue and nothing. So, like.
Yep.
Is it that again?
Michigan, Michigan State will both be good.
Spare me with the Michigan. Actually, I keep on forgetting Juwan Howard got the sack, and they have the FAU guy. So they actually
Dusty
might be pretty. They might be pretty good. They might be pretty good.
Good team. And then outside of that, Wisconsin will be pretty good. But that was not Dan Hurley. Bottom line.
Dude, it
that
might
was
have,
not Dan Hurley.
That might have been Dan Hurley.
I know. Guy was 5 foot four, 5 foot five.
Danny's a taller guy?
He
I thought he was short.
5 foot seven guys do not play college basketball at Seton Hall. He's about
never
my height.
Never know.
He's about my height.
His brother, there's nothing to him, and he played at Duke with Krzyzewski.
Nothing to him. That guy
was like 5'8".
He was a great player.
He's like 5'8". He played for Krzyzewski. He's like 5'10".
He's 6'2". He's a great player for Duke. He started on the Leitner team.
All right. Maybe 6'2".
A
5 foot
four.
Listen, I thought
Bobby
he was like
Hurley.
Five. I thought the
5 foot four Bobby Hurley wasn't starting on Duke.
I thought the Duke Hurley was about 5'9" on a good day. Apparently, I was dead wrong there. He just looks a lot shorter compared to the 6'10" guys. Fair play to him.
You'd love the Hurleys. That'd
oh,
be
dude,
a
yeah.
Of an
that's
interview.
Why I wanted to
That'd
get him.
That'd be a hoot of an interview.
That's why I wanted to get him.
We got to get Dan. One
we're
of
all
days.
Insane.
Dan was promoting
you,
his book.
Me, and Hurley. We're all three of us are insane. It'd be an amazing interview.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez. Russo and Rizzo will take a timeout here on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Would you be happy or sad if you see the Blue Jays beat the Dodgers? Do you want this to happen?
Yeah, I can't stand the Dodgers. It stinks that they're a Canadian team, but if this is what it takes, yeah, absolutely.
And if they win, are you not rooting for a good? Are you rooting for a good series above everything, or just Dodgers lose?
Dodgers losing, no matter what. Dodgers losing, no matter what.
Could you see this go seven?
No, it's going to go five games. I already made my prediction. Five games are a sweep. It's more likely to be a sweep than seven games.
I would agree with that.
It's more likely to be a sweep than seven, but I'm going to go five.
You think Toronto would put up the best fight amongst everybody in the AL this year and then make the postseason?
From what I've seen, the full product of an MLB postseason.
I would say yes.
I think so. I actually, can I have a funny shout real quick? I think the Tigers win a game because I think they could win the Scooble game. I think Scooble could pitch. Scooble's one of those pitchers where he could win a game.
He could take over a
exactly.
game himself.
He could win a game.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I was thinking about that yesterday. I'm like, can any of these AL teams really compete against LA? I mean, LA just really, they dismantled the Milwaukee Brewers, who won 97 games.
Yep.
They were the best team throughout the National League, throughout the regular season. And I know this was a Milwaukee Brewer team that just completely ran out of gas at the worst possible time. But it's one of those teams where they hit well all year, they pitched well all year, and they did neither against the Dodgers. They did neither. I mean, they pitched okay, but they did neither against the Dodgers. And they got hurt at the wrong time. Are we really just trying to fool ourselves that the Blue Jays would really have a chance? Because we just saw both these teams go through no man's land.
Right.
The Mariners and the Blue Jays trying to advance the World Series. And the Dodgers, you know, are getting massages. I saw Blake Snell was playing video games on his Instagram story.
Fair play to him.
These guys are just hanging out. And maybe that's just because they know that they're that much better than everybody else.
What game was Snell playing? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
It might have been
a sports
game.
I'm interested in that.
You could ask Blake Snell when you see him. You could ask Blake Snell.
Five games, kid. It said, and it stinks. It's bad for the MLB. It's bad for the MLB to have a,
I think this would be Dodgers in six.
Everyone loved, and I guess I'm being a little hypocritical, because I always say everyone loves a team to root against for or to root for. And a villain does that, and the Dodgers are the villain. But I think this is different, just because the way they did it. It's because of the way they did it. What's your name, partner?
Tammy.
Tammy?
Tammy. Tammy was a bartender today at the Boca Raton Resort.
You're our guy. You know that?
When I was singing the karaoke, I think everybody around us hated it except for Tammy right here.
Yep.
Good for you. Appreciate that. We needed that.
We did.
But also, to finish off the Dodger point, the thing about them is they reload these arms, and they have guys out of the pen that they could go to in terms of starters. They have Sheehan, Kasperius. I mean, God forbid they use Kershaw. They have Roki Sasaki. They have guys.
And then they have their lights out
closer. And then they have the guys
training.
Who can give you 7-8. And then they have their starters to give you 7-8.
Yep.
But it's the most dominant pitching staff I've ever seen.
And I
wasn't around for the Braves. I wasn't around for any of that. This is the most dominant pitching staff I've ever seen.
Well, Braves had the starter.
Smoltz, Maddox. They were monstrous.
This is five deep, mate. If you want to throw Kershaw in there, they're five
and
deep.
If you think the bullpen is that bad, they have a starter caliber player that is their closer that they ask two innings out of regularly.
Yep.
It's the most dominant pitching staff I've ever seen is Los Angeles.
I mean, and that's why when you asked me, the Mariners, can they outpitch the Dodgers if they make the World Series? Absolutely not. No one's outpitching that team this year. No one's outpitching.
Does it sell you on any sense that the Blue Jays are going in with a bunch of experienced pitchers? Gausman's experience. Bassett's experience. Scherzer, if they go to him,
Bieber,
is experienced.
Bieber.
Bieber's experienced. Yeah, Savage is not very experienced, but that's doesn't
no,
matter.
Because Kiki and Tommy Edman are the 8-9 hitters.
Yeah.
It's like they're the eighth option.
I don't know.
I
get a little nervous thinking. I'm trying to psych myself into the Blue Jays have a chance. I'm trying to psych myself into that. And I don't know if I can.
Five games. Blue Jays will win one at home.
One of the first two at home?
They'll win at home. Dodgers will close it out in game five.
And that hurts. And you know what hurts, too? We're not having a game for three, four games.
Correct.
You don't think today.
Hurts the MLB.
Tomorrow would have been a perfect game one. Perfect for game one.
Like,
but the thing is, they want to avoid Sundays. They want to avoid Saturdays.
The saving grace for the Blue Jays is that they can maybe score 11 runs consistently.
They're going to need to do that four straight times if they want to beat the Dodgers.
How about this? Not even 11. Can you put up five or six consistently? They'll have a chance.
We'll see.
If they can put up five or six consistently, they will have a chance. I do not see it with how good the Dodger pitching.
We got more Blue Jays-Dodgers preview coming throughout the week. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. Big thanks to Damian Perez keeping us up over the airwaves today. Get download the ESPN South Florida app on the App Store, and you can listen to us. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. You can listen to the high school coverage, Inter Miami, English and Spanish. Listen to the Florida Panthers games right here on the app. It's all in one spot. It is your go-to if you want your beat for South Florida sports. We'll be back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 as always. NBA starting tonight. We got our over-unders in. Let's lock in for the season. This has been Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.